Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, we worship. And so, Father, we are so glad to be in your presence again today. Thank you for the workers' meeting. Thank you for the Sunday school. Thank you for your children downstairs. Thank you for those of us in this sanctuary. Thank you, Lord, for your children that are all over the place worshiping you using the platform provided by Heaven's Glorious Embassy. We appreciate you. We exalt you. We are using this period and this moment to pray for the nation of Israel. We're praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Lord God, please temper justice with mercy and let peace reign in Jerusalem. And anyone that is fomenting trouble in Israel, in the Middle East, in the world setting, Father, if they will not repent before this week is over, bring them down and take them out. Every terrorist in any form, in any way, terrorizing your people, not allowing your people to enjoy what you have provided, if they will not repent before this week is over, take them out. Let them sleep and not wake up. Holy Spirit, please take control. In Jesus' name we pray. Shake somebody's hand and say, welcome, welcome to the presence of the Lord. Amen. I welcome each and every one of us back from Shiloh and the blessings of Shiloh. Amen. I'll be taking my Bible reading from Genesis 11. I'll read from verse 1 through to 6. Genesis 11 from verse 1 to 6. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found in the place a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they had imagined to do. The theme of this morning's message is the power of imagination. The power of imagination. Simply put, imagination is the process of forming mental image of seeing something, and that something is not actually present to your senses. As a tailor, I form mental images of what I plan to design before I begin the drafting, before I begin the cutting, and before I begin the sewing. The style of jacket or suit I have on right now was not in any store anywhere in the world. until I imagined it in my mental state, and I began to draft it, and I began to cut it, and I began to sew it, and behold, the suit I'm wearing now. You cannot find it anywhere because it was my imagination. Everything we are enjoying today that makes life easy was the imagination of somebody, was the imagination of some group of people, Church of God. The immensity of what the human mind can conceive through the power of imagination are so enormous. You can create your own world. Jesus Christ can help you. No wonder Job 32 verse 8, Job 32, stop looking at my jacket, listen to what I'm saying. Job 32 and verse 8 said something there. It says, but there is a spirit in man, the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. The inspiration of the Almighty God is open to all races, is open to all genders, it's open to all creeds. And that is why God will never construct a road for any nation. God will never allow electricity to continue to flow in any nation. God is not going to do it. He's not going to bring water supply to any nation. The reason? He will only give the inspiration. It is left for people to utilize what God has provided. God can do all things, trust me. But what he has given you the inspiration to do, he's not going to do it for you. I tell you, he's not going to do it. We may sing till kingdom come. There is nothing God cannot do. What God cannot do does not exist. You can do all things. That is biblically correct. Command ye me concerning the works of my hand, he said. But when it comes to what you are going to do for yourself, God is not going to do it. And that is where a lot of us stop. Oh, there's nothing God cannot do. He will only give you the inspiration. You are the one to tap into it. That's why you will see some beautiful bridges, some beautiful houses, some beautiful country. You get to some country, like I was watching a video sometime that my son is in church. Welcome back from Ajala travel from all over the world. You're welcome back. Talking about Darry David. I saw one video. We were just looking at one, what they call it, library. And we were just looking like this. People, imagination, people did it. Through the imagination, through the inspiration of the Almighty, desert can be turned into a city. Desert, Sansan. No, what is Sansan? The inspiration. You want a city in a desert? Take the inspiration. Hallelujah, somebody. Shout hallelujah. The inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. You want to rule your family well? God will give you the inspiration. And he's not going to tell you how to tell your wife, baby, I love you. God is not going to do that. You have to coin what makes your spouse happy. Some spouses, give them a cup of tea in bed. You make their day. Some couple, give them flowers, roses. You just made their days. And there's some couple, when you bring that flower or rosy, they'll say, who died? The power of imagination. My wife was informing one of our children the other day. He said, Daddy used to send me, before we got married, inspirational messages and materials. How you can positively turn your life around. That was before we got born again. Because I discovered early in life that what I say, what I think, what I imagine, it's a matter of time, it will come to pass. I discovered this early in life. Shout hallelujah, somebody. I strongly believe, even now, as I believe then, when I was growing up, that seed time and harvest will never cease. And that is why every opportunity I have to give unto God and give unto humanity, I jump at it speedily, because I am and I am still a product of seed time and harvest. I am still a product of the words that I speak. And that's why I always say that your mouth will take your places. This mouth of mine, at times my wife will say, BJ, don't do it, don't do it. I say, this mouth, I will use it. You are the one to say no, but this mouth, I will use it. Like a pastor told somebody, I know this person offended the pastor, and the pastor decided that he will continue to greet him. This person hated the pastor, and everywhere the pastor sees this person, hello, good afternoon. At the point, the person looked at the pastor and said, don't greet me anymore. And the pastor looked at him and said, you cannot tell me what to do with my mouth. Look at somebody, give him a hard high five and say, your mouth will take your places. The power of imagination. Hallelujah, somebody. Listen to me, children of God. The word of God is spirit and it is life. Speak life to your life, and miracles will begin to happen. The reason? Because you are the best salesperson to your life. Amen? The power of imagination. The Lord said in Genesis 11 verse 6, says, and the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin. This they begin to do. And nothing will be restrained from them which they had imagined to do. The Almighty God said, nothing can stop you in achieving what you imagined concerning your life. I don't like your amen. Nothing. It is not done yet. It is not physical. But as long as you keep your imaginary mind active, he says nothing can stop you. However, you can stop you. By the way you talk about yourself. Do you know that positive self-talk can move you to the next level of your life? Bros, sis, don't play with words. Don't play with words. Don't say I'm just joking. No, you don't joke with words. Words are like spilled milk. Evaluate what you say concerning yourself. Don't ever look at yourself and say, I am managing. You are just trying to explain something. Don't ever, ever, ever say, I hear you say it, we are hanging out there. My outlook to life changed when I got the revolutionary knowledge of Genesis 11 and verse 6. Genesis 11 verse 6, that there is power in me to create my environment. There is power in you. It is called the power of imagination. You can use it to create your environment. That means your environment is embedded in your imaginations. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, why are you looking at pastor like this? The reason, because the same creative ability in God, that God that speaketh those things that be not as though they were, that same power embeds in you to call these things that be not as though they were. You have it. You still have it. The power that God gave to Adam to give names to those animals, that power is still in you. Just like the power that God gave Lucifer that became Satan, that power is still in Lucifer that became Satan. The same power in man that was taken away by Lucifer have been reinstated to man. That's why the Bible says Christ in you is the hope of glory. You can do all things through Christ that does what? Strengthens you. Look at your neighbor and say to him or her, there is power in you. Because you are created in the image of God. Paul, explaining this process, says something in 2 Corinthians 4:18. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, why? We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The central truth throughout our just concluded Shiloh was, if you can believe it, you will see it. If you can believe it, you will have it. The past Shiloh was not just an ordinary Shiloh conference. If you believe it, shout hallelujah. But it is your responsibility now, brethren, to believe the prophetic proclamation that was placed upon your life. You must believe it. Believe the prophetic prayers that was prayed over your life during the past Shiloh. Believe in the seed that you sowed over your life, over your spouse, over your children, over your business, over your ministry. Believe in seed time and harvest. Harvest is coming your way in the name of Jesus. I don't like your amen. Great increase is coming your way. Jesus Christ said in John 11:40, Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Attending a powerful conference like they just concluded Shiloh, it's not the key factor. It's what you do with the information given or received. I don't know how many of you went back to our YouTube channel and go through those messages. I did. Whoa. Shiloh just began. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Don't just say, yeah, hallelujah, Shiloh has come and gone. No, for me, Shiloh is not done. This is the time now to begin to what? Tap. Give yourself a hand clap and say, John, keep on trying. Create a picture in your mind of what you prayed for. Create a picture of the job you prayed for. Create a picture of the babies you prayed for. Create a picture of the promotion you prayed for. Create a picture of the marriage you prayed for and begin to focus on the picture until the picture becomes a structure. Did you get that? You keep on praying concerning the picture. You create an imaginary picture in your mind of how you want your life to be. How, as you grow old, how do you want your life to be? Create that picture and begin to focus that on that picture until that picture becomes a structure. No picture of a house. You cannot dwell in a house that is still a picture. But when that picture becomes a structure, you can walk into it. You can create a picture of the kind of car, like a Range Rover. I've started driving that car, I tell you. It's still in a picture form. But it's a matter of time. That picture will become a structure. And you will see it. Look at your neighbor, give him a hard high five and say, your picture will become a structure. The picture of that marriage, the picture of those children, the picture of those businesses will soon become a structure. Shout hallelujah. See your life getting better and not bitter. See your spouse getting better and not bitter. Hallelujah. See your wife the way you want her to become. See your husband the way you want him to become. And carry that picture with your imaginary eyes to the Lord in the place of prayer. And it's a matter of time. That picture will become a structure. See your children. My goodness. The way I see my children, my goodness. And that's why I pray for them every time I have the opportunity. Because I see them as signs and wonders. They are not exactly how I want them to be right now, I tell you. But they are on their way of becoming. One of them, or two of them, look at us and say, Mom, Dad, don't worry about us. You raised us well. Say, train a child in the way he will become. And when he's old, he didn't tell us what is going to happen when you are training and when they are old. Just keep on training them. I tell you, see them the way you want them to become. Huh? I see my children. Oh my God. They started whispering to our ears. But I won't tell you what they are whispering. But I know that what we see them become, they will become. The reason they came out of our loins, they are our seed. We sowed that seed and they're going. That's why every offering I sow into their lives. And very soon, and they're actually taking over the family, I tell you. They've started some years, they started telling us what to do and what not to do. It's like, yes, sir. At times we want to wear something, say, Mom, you can't wear this one. Yes, ma. That is goodness and mercy following you. When your children have gotten to the point, they are the one advising you what to do. Because you are already old person. They will be telling you. At times I'll bring my iPad. Oh, yeah. I call one of them, wait a minute. They will teach me. And when I come to church, I will be blowing the grammar. You didn't know that. He said, the children he has blessed you with are for signs and are for wonders. He promised us in Isaiah 54 and verse 13, he says, he will teach them and great will be their peace. Don't worry. They may be acting rascally now, but he says, I will teach them, and great will be their peace. We're talking about the power of what? Imagination. Give somebody a hard high five and say, imagine great things about your life. Imagine your business blossoming and blooming. Imagine your business expanding to the right, to the left. If you have an agency in Dallas, nothing stops you from having it in Atlanta. How do you pronounce it? How do you say Atlanta? So no. How? Atlanta. What about she? Is it Chicago or Chicago? Chicago. Yeah. Nothing stop you from having your branches all over. Don't limit yourself. Expand your horizon by the power of imagination. It's in you. That power is in you. It says he has given you power. power to become the sons and daughters of God. See your morning better. See your afternoon better. See your evening. See every time of your life getting better. Do you know? Close your eyes quickly. Close your eyes. Naturally, you will see darkness, but begin to see light at the end of the tunnel. When you close your eyes, begin to see things happening. That is what is called imagination. Close your eyes. You can see that chicken that is defrosting in your... You can see your bedroom. In fact, you can see your village. You can see it. It is the power of imagination. And whatsoever you imagine with that power, it's a matter of time. Your imagination will become fruitful in the name of Jesus. See good things about your life. Listen, what you cannot behold, you cannot hold. If you cannot behold a good future, a glamorous future, you cannot hold a glamorous future. That is the power of imagination. Hallelujah, somebody. Ask him, hallelujah, somebody. And that's why you must not allow anyone to talk you down without your permission. Don't allow anyone to tell you you don't deserve what you are trusting God for. Don't allow anyone to talk you down because of your color, because of your accent, because of your height. After all, we were told last Sunday that the righteous shall be made. Shout hallelujah. Begin to thank God for what you are trusting God for. And it's a matter of time, it will come to pass. What you heard throughout Shiloh, it's not the first time you have heard it. It's just in a different way, telling you you can achieve what you want to achieve. Come on, shout hallelujah. Clap your hands and say, John, you can achieve what you want to achieve. You can achieve what you imagine with your imaginary eyes, because there's power in me. Hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Your life is not over. It is not over until you overcome. Think big. Imagine big things. Think big. Imagine great things. Imagine great things happening to your children. Imagine great things happening to your world. Why? The Bible said in Proverbs 23 and verse 18, it says, "For surely there is an end to those pains. Surely there is an end to those lack. Surely there is an end to that sickness, to that unemployment. Surely there is an end." And after that, he said what? The expectation. Your expectation concerning your marriage, concerning your home, concerning your business, concerning your ministry. It says your expectation shall not be cut off. Clap those hands and say, Johnny William Mewa, your expectation over your wife, over your children, over your grandchildren will not be cut short, will not be cut off. Johnny William Mewa, your expectations over heaven's glorious embassy will not be cut short in the name of Jesus. Pray, brother. Pray. So shall it be. So we decree. In Jesus' mighty name, we prayed. Therefore, be expectant. In 1 Samuel 1, 18 and 19, 1 Samuel 1, 18 and 19. And she said, Anna said, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way, and she did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they arose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Anna, his wife, and the Lord remembered who? Her. May the Lord remember you. Expectation is having or showing an excited feeling that something is about to happen. That is what expectation is. Anna, after she received a prophetic word from Eli, she cheered up, worshipped God, and started eating. She went home with a high expectation that the man child that she prayed for was going to come to pass. And that's why the Bible says in Hebrews 4 verse 2, Hebrews 4 verse 2, it says, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. May the word that was preached through Shiloh profit you." I don't like your amen. "But the word preached did not profit them." Why? "Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." You have received the undiluted word of God during our past Shiloh. You receive it with joy. You receive it with great expectation. Keep your expectations high, because your faith is required. Be expectant. Because this past Shiloh was not just business as usual. God visited us like never before. He showed up during our Shiloh conference. He fought and defeated the enemies of our destinies, just as he did to Jehoshaphat and Israel. In 2 Chronicles, as I begin to round up now, 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 25. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 25. "And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and the precious jewel which they striped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil." The reason it was so much. Look up, brethren. We know the story in 2 Chronicles 20 from verse 1 to the end. God told Jehoshaphat, "The battle is not your battle. I am going to do the fighting. I'm going to destroy the enemies." Do you know, brethren, when the enemies were destroyed, what was it that God did? God just told his entourage, "Okay, we have done our part." And they went back to base. God did not help them gather the spoil. I've killed them. I inspired them to bring in all their jewels, all their ornaments, their riches. You are going to war and you are loaded with all that you had. And God destroyed the enemies. And he just left everything and said, "Okay, hey guys, let's go to the next battle." It was Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel that came in there and gathered the spoils for themselves. For 3 days, they were just gathering. God did not help them. Let me be the one to tell you, the blessings of Shiloh, God is not going to help you gather them. Jesus told the disciples, "You gather. I have multiplied the food. I have blessed and multiplied the food, but you gather the fragment." I tell you, you will pray till kingdom come if you don't step out and step in into the spoil. The enemies have been destroyed. The door of your prosperity has been opened. Your womb has been opened. I tell you, God is not going to help you meet your wife. What was it Anna did? Anna went home, cleaned up, went to her Georgia, Victoria's Secret. Got, you understand what I'm saying? Somebody said no. Anna discovered it was not the time to wear shimmy. It was not the time to wear boxers. Because the man have been doing it year in, year out. But Anna knew that her man child was on the way. So as soon as she got home, she cleaned up, gave him food to eat, dressed up. And the dressing up is not to go to work. It was a bedroom dressing. It's not the type you just... No. The Bible said Elkanah knew his wife. Knew. Remove the K. Knew. Anna became new because of her experience during Shiloh. Sir, you are new. Your wife is new. Treat her as new. She's chassis. I tell you. If she see you wearing shimmy, go to Victoria's Secret. Why am I advertising these people? No, go to Walmart. Dress her the way you want to see her at night and go to work. Because she's new. Your husband is new. Everything is new. That was what God did to Abraham. He renewed his strength and Baba was kicking. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about the power of imagination. She imagined that baby. A lot of you are trusting God for the fruit of the womb. Husband is doing night. Wife is doing night. Ah! Look at your neighbor and say, find time, Joe. Trusting God for a life partner. Come on, dress up well. Make yourself available. Gather at Shiloh, wherever people of God are gathered, be there. And open your eyes as you pray. Be expectant. Make yourself available. Dress up well. Whether you're going to Walmart, dress up well. You understand what I'm saying? You understand that one? Be expectant. Our past Shiloh was not just an ordinary Shiloh. You're trusting God for employment. Put your resume out there. Pastor, they are there. Put them, because you are new now. Put them back there. That promotion is on the way. Imagine it. For there is power behind your imagination. Heaven's Glorious Embassy family, the God of Shiloh has revived your prayer life. Pray. Pray. And pray without ceasing. Just because Shiloh 2023 is gone, that does not mean that your prayer life should go with Shiloh. God has revived your praise. Wow. Choir, Heaven's Glorious Embassy choir. Heaven's Glorious Embassy instrumentalist. Una de kwanu. Yay! God has revived our praise and worship. Let our praise and worship continue. Let it not be in church alone. Do you know what God did during this Shiloh? He revived our giving. Give to the work of God. Don't cease. Keep on giving. Because I learned this long time ago that the giving hand is always on top. I don't say pastor is always and his wife, they're always in front. We don't have all the money, but we can sow seed. Because there is a time to sow and there is a time to eat. For seed time and harvest will never cease. Shout hallelujah, somebody. Shout hallelujah, somebody. The power of imagination. Do you know, brethren? It says, whatsoever you imagined, no man, no woman, nothing can stop it. Nothing. Based on Genesis 11 verse 6. That means if you imagine heaven, you will make heaven. I will make heaven. No devil, no demon can stop me because I am imagining heaven. Look at what it says. It says, if you are imagining heaven, it says the one who will take you to heaven in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, 11 and 12, 2 Peter 3 from verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the work that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and holiness and godliness, rather? He said, looking for the and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. You know the reason I know I will make it to heaven? Because I believe there is a heaven. I think about heaven in my business dealings, in my Christian dealings. I consider heaven. Paul said, if here alone is your hope, you are of all men the most miserable. If you imagine heaven, walking on the street of gold, waiting for when Jesus is going to introduce his wife to his father in the marriage supper of the Lamb. Imagine you taking off. You are not a bird, you are not a plane, but taking off during the rapture. For those of us who are dead, taking off from the grave. I imagine that when I will see the one who loved me, who brought me out from Calcutta Republic, and I'm looking at him eyeball to eyeball. When I pray and I'm thanking God, I say, God, how big is your head? How big are your eyes? How big are your ears? How long are your arms that are under? How long are your legs that you sit in heaven and you rest your feet on the earth? But that day, I will see him anya anya. I will say, so this is God. Jesus, this is you. And as I'm looking, because the elders, they have to bow. But because we are seated with him in the heavenly places, we'll be saying, ah, Jesus, so now you be this. Say, ah, Nami, wait, Nami. I imagine it with my imaginary eyes. When it says nothing can take that away from you. The reason Christians will not make heaven is because they take their focus away from Jesus. They begin to think about worldly and carnal things. If you are doing that, you are neither hot nor cold. God says, I will you out of his mouth. But if you're always thinking about the things above, where Jesus is seated, we're thinking about making heaven, you'll find that this world is not your home. When people offend you, you go and beg them. When people step on your feet, you'll say, ouch, it's hurting, but it's still there. Oops. God bless you. He says, Jesus, because of the joy that was set before him, he endured the contradiction of sinners. He endured the pain on the cross because of heaven. You hear the saying, have me for heaven's sake. Make peace with your brother. For heaven's sake, love your wife. A lot of spouses will miss the kingdom of God because they lost the focus of heaven. They are not focusing. My wife did not. My husband did not. No, that is not the focus. Looking unto Jesus, because of the joy that was set before him, he endured the contradiction of sinners. I will make heaven. No doubt about it. The reason my focus, I do what I do because of heaven's sake. I love you without reservation because of heaven. And who is in heaven? God is in heaven. Who is in heaven? Jesus is in heaven. Who is in heaven? The Holy Spirit is in heaven and yet is taking care of the affairs of the world. Who is in heaven? The divine Trinity. And he said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. So that wherever I am, there you'll be also. John chapter 14, 1 through to 3. I'm looking at the mansion that he has prepared. Somebody came to our home. He said, "Wow, this is a mansion." Inside of me, I say, this is what Jesus have gone to prepare for me. No, this is too tiny. But he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I am going to prepare a place for you. When I finish preparing the place, you may be 40 years old. But when I finish preparing the place, I will come for you. Because I live just 33.5 years. When I finish preparing the place, you don't determine when I come for you. You may be 50, I will come for you. You may be 60, I will come for you. You may be 70, I will come for you. You may be 80, you may be 90, you may be 100. But when I finish the place that I've gone to prepare for you, I, not an angel, will come for you. These are the things working in my imaginary eyes. That's why if you offend me, if I know, I will beg you. But if I'm begging you, don't think I'm stupid. When I'm begging you and apologizing and you treat me as though I am stupid, I will leave you alone because I am not stupid. I am wise. The wise still seek Jesus. Because I'm seeking Jesus does not make me stupid. The power of imagination. I imagine me getting wealthy. And that's why I sow seed. Everything that answered money answers. Anything that answers to money will always answer to me. The reason my seed is on this altar. Everything I need to enjoy goodness and mercy is in the seed I sow. And that seed is on this altar. And that's why I implore you. What manner of men ought you to be in all holy and godly conversation? Some of you are only Christians in church. But outside the church, you act as mommy water. Because you are not imagining heaven. Why should I live my Christian life to please you? Why should I be a Christian when you are around? Why should I be a Christian? Because I want you to know I'm a Christian. I don't care about you knowing I'm a Christian. If I'm a Christian, you will know. I don't need to display that I'm a Christian. If I'm a Christian, you will know how the way I interact with those that were made after the similitude of God. Your wife is made after the similitude of God. Your husband, your children, they are made after the similitude of God. Treat them as godly people. And God, who sees in the secret, will bless you in the open. Put those hands together for the Lord. Shout hallelujah. See what you want God to do. See it as being done. See your life prospering. See those nothingness being filled with fullness. What you see matters. You can only seize what you see. You can only hold what you behold. God wanted to confirm this. He told Abraham, who was getting old and getting older without a child. Abraham told God, in Genesis 15, he says, "See, I'm going childless now. Only this house boy is just around me." And God said, "You are going childless." And the Bible says, God took him out. And it's okay. See the stars. The Bible says, when he looked at the stars, he saw those stars as children. The Bible says, and Abraham believed, and it was counted unto him for what? Righteousness. See, don't listen, don't be too realistic. Being realistic can make you an unbeliever. Call those things that be not as though they are. act as though you have gotten it. Say, let the weak say, I'm strong. Joel 3 verse 10. I told us the other day, at times you see me jumping around or running around. I am, not all the time. Some of the times I'm in pain. But I don't act based on my feeling. I act based on Isaiah 53 verse 5. It says, he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we have been healed. I act as a healed person, regardless of the report of the doctors. That is how you get the best out of God. He will fight the battle, but will not help you take the spoil. He visited us here during Shiloh. He's not going to now tell you, Angel, Carrie, no. You are the one to prepare for the harvest. You have sown. And a lot of you just sow. You are not preparing for harvest. My goodness, I'm preparing for a huge harvest because I sowed during this Shiloh. I remember once when I was going back, the devil said, what a stupid man you are. I say, I got it. Because the devil will never encourage you when you give to God. He will tell you you are stupid, just giving your money to the church. No, I did not give my money to the church. I gave my money to whom? God. And he's a recorder, and he's also a rewarder. Shall we rise? I'm going to make an altar call. And that altar call is for everyone under the sound of my voice in the sanctuary and those of us in your different location. Look up, brethren. Just one prayer. What are your imagination concerning heaven? If your imagination is heaven and heaven bound, let me tell you, one of the things that will prove that to you is that people will want to dislocate you from your location. People will frustrate you. People will talk down on you. People will annoy you. And it's not going to be in the mall. It's going to be in the church. Then you'll know that you are heading somewhere. Because the enemy will never encourage you to follow the path of righteousness. So if you go through a day without thinking about heaven, altar call is for you. If you go through a week without thinking about heaven, without even thinking about the rapture, because a lot of us, we had forgotten that he said he's going to come like a thief in the night. We still bear grudges. We are still bitter. Why? That, if you only know what that brother said to me. If you only know what that sister said to me. Pastor, you will empathize with me. Really? They called your Lord a devil. And he said, Father, forgive them. So if you can go through without it thinking, what if this is the last day? A pastor preached an exciting and inspiring message. A pastor, a man of God. Very likely they clapped the way you had clapped. And he went to his chair to thank God for the message. They thought, they've shared the grace. Pastor is still thanking God, not knowing that as he knelt down, he has crossed over. If you are imagining the rapture, you will not go to bed and go into your comforter with grudges and bitterness. You will not go to bed and you put a pillow as a demarcation mark between you and your spouse. You are reckless. You are dangerous because you are not imagining heaven. It says, when I finish preparing the place, I will come for you. What if you sleep and you did not wake up? Who are you? You know, America is a land of litigation. Who are you going to litigate against? Who are you going to sue? Nobody. That's why I said, if these things will be, what manner of persons ought you to be? So this altar call is for every one of us. You're going to lift up your hands towards the altar and say, Father, have mercy on me. Begin to pray now. Those of us online, stretch your hands towards the TV. Stretch your hands towards whatever you're using. And say, Father, have mercy on me. I want to be heaven focused. Paul said, you are of all men the most miserable. If the earth, this world is your hope alone. Pray and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Let me be heaven focused. Rapture focused. That the power of imagination will not be used on earthly things alone. Which is for our benefit, for us here, but we want to imagine heaven. We want to imagine you on the throne. We want to imagine Jesus on the throne. We want to imagine the holy angels serving us. We want to imagine the rapture. We want to imagine heaven. And he says, when we do this continuously, nothing can restrain us. Nothing can stop us from making it to heaven. Renew our mindset. My mind is made up and I'm not going back. My mind is made up. Let's sing along. Sing it out. Bye. made up my mind. To God, God's way, God's way. The rest of my life, I've made up my life to go God's way. May that confession be our portion in the name of Jesus. So that when the Lord comes to collect the church, none of us will be found wanting. If you are here, you are not born again, and you have prayed that prayer as a son, I pray before this day is over, God is going to assure you and give you the power as a child of God. In the name of Jesus. Say a better amen.